From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. On November 2nd, voters will decide whether to amend Iowa's Constitution. This hour, we discuss a proposed amendment on the ballot that would create a dedicated trust fund for protecting and enhancing water quality, natural areas, and Iowa soils. The measure would ensure that a portion of any future sales tax increase would be put into the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. We'll talk with one of the people spearheading the effort to get this measure passed and a lawmaker who has concerns about amending Iowa's Constitution for budgetary purposes. That's all coming up right after we check this hour's news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. On November 2nd, voters will decide whether to amend Iowa's Constitution. This hour, we want to discuss a proposed amendment on the ballot that would create a dedicated trust fund for protecting and enhancing water quality, natural areas, and Iowa soils. It's called the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. Now, in just a moment, we'll talk with one of the people spearheading the effort to get this measure passed and a lawmaker who has concerns about amending Iowa's Constitution for budgetary reasons. First, though, other states have dedicated a portion of sales tax revenue to such purposes, and one such state is our neighbor to the south, Missouri. Joining us now to find out how Missouri's state tax works and how much revenue it generates, Ted Farnan, Director of Communications at the Missouri Department of Revenue. Ted Farnan, thank you for joining The Exchange.
Good afternoon.
Let's have you please give us the basics for your tax for natural areas in Missouri.
Well, basically, I'm not as familiar with the proposal in Iowa as obviously your future guests are, but in Missouri, we basically have two different taxes that I think deal with some of the areas in your proposal. In 1976, here in Missouri, after a citizen initiative, there was a proposal put on the ballot for an eighth of a cent sales tax, and that would be dedicated to our Department of Conservation. And that did not have a sunset. In other words, it doesn't have to be revoted on every 4, 8, or 6 years or whatever. And last year, in fiscal year 2010, this raised about $84 million for the Department of Conservation. And now, as you can imagine, it's a very comprehensive department that does a lot of different things, everything from hunting and fishing regulation. There are a lot of conservation areas. They help regulate the forests, wildlife preservation. They assist private landowners with conservation issues. So,
and this would be in addition to what we here in Iowa pay for our fishing and hunting licenses. That goes for conservation, for the fish stocks and so forth. So this is in addition to licenses, for instance.
That's a very good point. That is probably the second biggest source of revenue for the Department of Conservation. I can tell you, though, that it is unusual, at least here in Missouri, to have a dedicated sales tax for a particular department, and conservation has been the beneficiary of that. Mm-hmm. And it's, in other words, whatever comes in from that sales tax, it has to go to the Department of Conservation for their purposes. And I think partly as a result of that funding stream, and also because we have a very good and dedicated staff here, the Department of Conservation is seen as one of the better ones, if not the best one, in the nation. And I think, again, that's partly due to that consistent funding stream.
So you said you had two parts to this, an eighth of a cent conservation tax. The other part is?
Yes. We also have a tenth of a cent sales tax, and that was originally passed in 1984. And that one does have to be voted on every so often to be renewed. And it's been renewed three times by overwhelming margins, I should say. And this tenth of a cent tax goes for two purposes. Half of it is used for state parks here in Missouri, state parks and historic sites, and the other half goes for soil and water conservation projects. So again, I'm not real familiar with what you're doing there in Iowa, but from what I've been told, these two areas that these two sales taxes fund would be similar to what your proposal is there in Iowa.
Now, did Missouri amend its constitution to establish this dedicated tax, these funds?
These were the tenth of a cent was just it was not a constitutional thing. This was just a sales tax proposal.
It went through the Missouri legislature.
Right, but it had to be approved. The way it was set up, this one had to be approved by the citizens of the state. And when it was originally approved by the voters in 1984, it had a sunset clause in it that said that at least every 10 years it has to be renewed by mm-hmm. voters. So it kind of serves as a way to say for people to say, hey, we like what you're doing with this money, mm-hmm. and we approve of it. And like I said, it's passed overwhelmingly every time.
So your words tell me that this is a popular way to spend money that Missourians are. What has been the chief, if any, the opposition to it?
Well, you would have to go back to the campaigns. I honestly can't tell you a lot about the original campaign for the conservation sales tax in 1976. I would say that all of these proposals have passed pretty overwhelmingly. Now, I'm not my role today is here not to necessarily even advocate here for the taxes in Missouri, much less the proposal in Iowa. I want to make that clear. But I do think it'd be safe to say that when the voters of Missouri have had a chance to vote on these two proposals for conservation, general conservation, and state parks and soil and water conservation, they have passed pretty overwhelmingly.
So what is Missouri's sales tax rate?
The overall state sales tax rate is 4.225%, and you get that 0.225 by adding the 1/10 and the 1/8. The other 4 cents, 3 of it is dedicated for general purposes, and 1 cent is dedicated for education purposes. So if you add all that up, it's 4.225%. Now, if someone from Iowa would come down to Kirksville or Maryville or someone to buy something, obviously the city and county sales tax would have to be added to that. So it's not the total sales tax that you would pay when you go to a store, which, you know, usually is somewhere in the range of 7 or 8%, depending on how high the local sales taxes are. But the state sales tax rate is 4.225%.
Ted Farnan, Director of Communications with the Missouri Department of Revenue. I know this is not your area, but what can you tell us about the types of programs these millions of dollars raised by this dedicated taxes, these two taxes, have gone for?
Well, the tenth of a cent sales tax, as I mentioned earlier, half of it goes for state parks, and that's here in Missouri, we have a lot of state parks and historic sites. I think we have more caves than any other state in the country, and so some of the state parks have caves. One interesting one is our Katy Trail State Park. It's a trail that goes almost all the way across the state from the St. Louis area to a rural area not real far from Kansas City. But even though it's a trail, it's been designated as a state park. And so that's one of the more unusual ones. And we get a lot of visitors from out of state that hike and bike and walk on the Katy Trail. We have a lot of campsites. A lot of the state parks have boating areas, horseback riding, mountain biking, things like that. And then the other half of that one goes for the soil and water conservation projects. We have a commission that oversees the use of this money, and there are a lot of programs that we work with on a voluntary basis with landowners, and, you know, it encourages them to participate in soil erosion control projects, things like, creating embankments in certain areas to reduce water runoff, mm-hmm. Planting certain types of plants or shrubs to help control water runoff, things like that.
With Missouri as a tourist destination, has anybody drawn the conclusion that this investment, some of which goes back way back to the Citizens Initiative way back in 1976, this investment has somehow boosted the appeal of Missouri to not only those within the state, but with from outside the state to say these are well-maintained parks and trails?
Yeah, I don't have any specific numbers. You might have to talk with our Division of Tourism about the things like that, but I can say, again, you know, we have things like the Katy Trail bring in people from a lot of other states, you know, because they hear about it and want to, you know, hike or bike or walk on this trail. And again, we do have a lot of natural attributes here in the state that people do want to come and visit. And then the conservation department, obviously, especially during hunting season, where this upcoming weekend is a big deer hunting weekend for us here in Missouri with our firearm season approaching. And I know we get a lot of out-of-state visitors who come, and especially in northern Missouri, we have a lot of good deer hunting opportunities up there. As I'm sure is true in parts of Iowa, and but we get a lot of visitors from out of there. So I don't have a specific number, but obviously, if you have you know, good conservation areas, keep up your forests, your state parks, things like that, that's going to attract visitors, and that only benefits the state.
So it seems like you're saying the investment in Missouri's natural areas over the years of these taxes has been noticeable to the average citizen of the state.
I think so, especially probably more so the conservation department. Again, it's when a department has its own funding stream, that really gives them the opportunity to do things that other departments might not be able to because they don't have the, you know, they have to rely more on the general appropriations of the state. And again, I think the conservation commissions over the years have made good decisions on how to use that money. And again, I'm not necessarily advocating, you know, that tax is set in law. And I mean, you would have to have a huge recall effort to actually get rid of that one. But while I'm not necessarily advocating for a particular tax, I do think it would be safe to say that the conservation department has done a very good job of overseeing that money. And I think a lot of outside analysts would say that, yes, the Missouri Department of Conservation is a very good one.
Ted Farnan is Director of Communications with the Missouri Department of Revenue. Ted, thank you for taking the time to join us here on Iowa Public Radio this afternoon. We appreciate it.
No problem, Ben.
Ted Farnan, thank you very much. Well, if you've just joined us on November 2nd, let's remind those who've just joined us what we're talking about this hour on The Exchange. On November 2nd, voters will decide whether to amend Iowa's Constitution, discussing a proposed amendment on the ballot that would create a dedicated trust fund for protecting and enhancing water quality, natural areas, and Iowa soils. It's called the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. Joining us now to talk specifically about the proposal on the Iowa ballot come November 2nd are Sean McMahon, director of the Nature Conservancy in Iowa, also chair of the Iowa's Water and Land Legacy Campaign. Sean joins us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Des Moines. Welcome to our program.
Thanks so much, Ben. It's really terrific to be on The Exchange.
Also joining us from Iowa Public Radio studio in Ames, State Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, Democrat from Ames. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Representative.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk to Sean McMahon, first of all, to have you give us the basics of this proposal. What are you campaigning for?
We're campaigning for clean water, for improved soil conservation, for restoring wetlands to help protect against future flooding, and investing in conservation and Iowa's economy for our children's and grandchildren's future. And if I may, you know, I really appreciated Ted's contribution to the program. And I did have some statistics about how Missouri's investment in conservation has provided a boost to Missouri's economy. You know, I noted that for their 1/8% conservation tax, which raised $84 million last year for projects and programs related to forestry, hunting, fishing, and other outdoor recreation activities, that was leveraged and generated $11.4 billion in economic activity related from hunting, fishing, wildlife watching, and forestry. So it's an incredible investment that Missouri has made, both in terms of their environment and their economy. And we want to follow in the footsteps of Missouri and also our neighbors to the north in Minnesota. They passed a similar constitutional amendment in 2008. So Iowans will have an opportunity on November 2nd to make a similar investment in both our environment and our economy.
Sean McMahon, what are the most worrying aspects of Iowa's, the things that this amendment would address, this trust fund would address, Iowa's water, natural areas, and soils? Are we, for instance, lagging in terms of upkeep, keeping the quality of these natural areas, soil, water, up to standards when we compare ourselves to, let's say, Missouri and Minnesota, which has it?
Sadly, Ben, we are. You know, Iowa ranks 48th out of all 50 states in state funding for conservation, and we have some of the most polluted water in the country. You know, in fact, we have nearly 500 polluted water bodies, and that figure has more than doubled in just the last decade. There's actually at least one impaired river, lake, or stream in every county in Iowa. And of course, agriculture is the backbone of our economy here in Iowa, yet we're losing an average of 5 tons per acre of topsoil per year, and we've lost half of our soil since we started farming in this state. So we really do have a sense of urgency here, and it's time that we invest in clean water and soil conservation. You know, the EPA and the DNR had indicated that over 50% of our waters rate poor, 53% in fact. So that's really an unfortunate statistic, and unless we invest in long-term sustainable funding for natural resources, we're never going to be able to meaningfully address those challenges of clean water and soil conservation in Iowa.
This will be on the ballot for November 2nd. What exactly is the question on the ballot? I don't know if you have the wording with you.
I don't have the wording in front of me, Ben, but it says it's question number one, and it'll be on the back side of the ballot near the bottom. And the question is whether or not we should establish the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund for clean water. Or actually, here, I just found it. The ballot summary language is adopts Iowa's Water and Land Legacy Amendment, which creates a dedicated trust fund for the purposes of protecting and enhancing water quality and natural areas in the state, including parks, trails, and fish and wildlife habitat, and conserving agricultural soils in this state.
Okay, talk a little about the path, because if this passes on November 2nd, is that it? Or what else does it need to become come into force as an amendment?
Right. Well, the path to get here consisted of seeing more than 90% of Iowa's legislators, our representatives and senators, voting for Iowa's water and land legacy legislation. And that put us on the ballot this November 2nd. We also passed legislation earlier this year which codifies the funding formula for Iowa's water and land legacy. So voters and taxpayers will know exactly how the money is spent. And it also included a provision that ensured that this is entirely voluntary and that there's none of the funding could be used for regulatory purposes. And it also contained various provisions for citizen oversight and transparency and accountability. But one issue that I want to emphasize, which sets us apart from Missouri and Minnesota, is that a vote yes for Iowa's water and land legacy is not a vote to increase our sales tax. You know, a vote yes for Iowa's water and land legacy would establish the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. And then it would be up to the wisdom of a future legislature and a future governor as to whether or not to increase sales tax. But if the sales tax does increase, Iowa's water and land legacy would ensure that a portion of those increased sales tax proceeds would go to clean water and soil conservation and restoring wetlands to protect against future flooding and values that would benefit all Iowans.
Sean McMahon, director of the Nature Conservancy and Iowa chair of the Iowa's Water and Land Legacy Campaign, a proponent of the proposed amendment that would create a dedicated trust fund for protecting and enhancing water quality, natural areas, and Iowa soils. We want to get to our state representative in just a moment, but I want to reach out to our listeners to make sure that our listeners have a chance to call. Should Iowa's Constitution be amended to create this dedicated trust fund? Do you want to see more funding for conservation programs? Are you willing to pay slightly higher sales taxes to support conservation efforts in the state? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. And let's go to Pat in Ames. Good afternoon, Pat.
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I would like to take this opportunity to point out, I think our constitutional framers did a wonderful job in extending their overview for schools and roads and our infrastructure needs, but they just overlooked the environment. At that time in 1846, it was unlimited. And I think we've had the realization now that these natural resource infrastructure needs can be addressed with this voting yes for this opportunity that comes on November 2nd.
Okay, thank you very much for that call, Pat, from Ames. And let's go to State Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, Democrat from Ames. You were one of seven state representatives who voted against the amendment in the legislature. Why did you do that?
It seems a little strange, I'm sure. I want to say that I fully support what this amendment would fund. I strongly believe that we need to fund our resource enhancement and protection program. I have always supported Environment First, which is also a conservation efforts, and I would support increasing those efforts by multitudes. I know that we have some great needs in this state to conserve our natural resources, and I'm a big proponent for those. As a legislator, however, I have to balance a lot of concerns and needs. And so I do have three concerns about the amendment that I'd like to go through. The first one is that the sales tax is a regressive tax that disproportionately impacts lower-income Iowans. So essentially, we're asking low-income Iowans to take on a bigger burden of this issue that we've created. I don't think that's fair. My second concern is that, to my knowledge, there's not one legislator who has said that a sales tax increase is on his or her agenda. And I find that a little disconcerting. If we pass this, I'm afraid people will think we're actually going to fund it and we don't need to do it in our budget any longer, where in fact we have to raise the sales tax in order for this to take effect. And my third concern is about amending our Constitution. There is only one other constitutionally protected fund, the Road Use Tax Fund. And when we go through times, as we're going through right now, we're slowly but surely coming out of a recession. We have endured at least three major natural disasters. It really tightens our budget, and we have to balance all the needs on that budget. And so I'm concerned about constitutionally protecting a certain fund when we have those kinds of needs.
Very good. We'll take a break right now and then come back with State Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, a Democrat from Ames, and we'll look in more in depth at the four concerns that she raised in regards to the proposed amendment that would create a dedicated trust fund for protecting and enhancing water quality, natural areas, and Iowa soils. We want you to chime in, and when we come back, call right now, 1-866-780-9100. Should Iowa's Constitution be amended to create this dedicated trust fund? 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. At this time on Monday, I will be talking with Bill McKibben, described as probably the nation's leading environmentalist, the world's best green journalist. He wrote the first book on global warming for a general audience titled The End of Nature. That was in 1989. Since then, much has changed, but not our march towards a steadily warming climate. So he's written another book, Earth, Making Life on a Tough New Planet. And my conversation with Bill McKibben on Monday in advance of his visit to Iowa, October 13th, through the 15th. That's coming up on The Exchange at this time over the noon hour on Monday. Today we're talking about you as an Iowa voter. And if you're going to the polls on November 2nd, whether you'll face the choice of whether to amend Iowa's Constitution. The proposed amendment would create a dedicated trust fund for protecting and enhancing water quality, natural areas, and Iowa soils. This measure would ensure that any future sales tax increase would put 0.375 in the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. Talking about that this hour with Sean McMahon, director of the Nature Conservancy in Iowa and chair of Iowa's Water and Land Legacy Campaign, a proponent of this proposed amendment. Also with us, State Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, Democrat from Ames, who has raised some reservations about this, and we want to have our listeners join us in just a few minutes. Call now with your opinion on this. Should Iowa's Constitution be amended to create this dedicated trust fund? We're on Twitter at IPR Talk, 1-866-780-9100, our toll-free number, or also email theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Before the break, Sean McMahon, State Representative Wessel-Crochelle mentioned three reservations she had here. Let me have you react to one of those, and we'll get to the other ones as we progress through this last half hour and get to our callers as well. She says no legislator says that a sales tax increase is likely in the offing, no one mentioning it, and this amendment is hinged on a sales tax increase. So could we voters with good intentions be going to the polls and say, yes, let's do something good for the environment, and then actually we go away with a good feeling and no money goes into that trust fund?
Well, I do have I have spoken to some legislators who have told me that they would vote for a sales tax increase, you know, should Iowa's water and land legacy be enacted by a majority of Iowa's voters this year. But, you know,
so,
there are
so
other ways.
You see this vote as a spur for the legislature rather than going to the legislature, first of all, to get a sales increase. We have this amendment, and you think then that will spur legislators to do this?
Not necessarily, but, you know, there are a number of legislative champions for Iowa's water and land legacy that believe so strongly in that I know that they personally would vote for one should one be proposed. But, you know, that's not the focus of our campaign, and, you know, that certainly has to be left up to the wisdom of a future legislature and a future governor to decide. But I wanted to point out that there are other ways that the trust fund could be funded. You know, it could be funded by donations from private individuals, from nonprofit organizations, from corporations. It could be funded by direct appropriations from the legislature if legislators decided that would be the most appropriate path. But certainly the most significant source of funding would be from a future increase in the sales tax.
And
if that happens, you know, it's basically a guarantee that some of the money would go to these values that we all care about: clean water, soil conservation, restoring wetlands to help protect against future flooding, and really investing in our natural resources and in Iowa's economy.
State Representative Wessel-Crochelle, you still maintain there you don't see any chance of an increase in a sales tax coming through the legislature.
Well, I want to clarify a couple of things. First of all, I don't think there's any organized effort against this amendment, and clearly a small minority of us in the legislature who voted against it. But when I asked people who, you know, privately, who did strongly support the amendment, they said no, they were not going to support a tax increase. And so I'm very concerned about giving a false impression that we actually are going to fund these programs, because I consider them to be very important. I'd like to get on it right now in the state budget and start looking at things. We do have the REAP program. We have Environment First. And we need to increase the funding to those programs and targeting these issues.
Okay. Well, let's reach out to our listeners. Should Iowa's Constitution be amended to create this dedicated trust fund? 1-866-780-9100, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org, or on Twitter. Give us a tweet at IPR Talk. We did receive a tweet when we asked that question about this creating the constitutional amendment to create this dedicated funding source for conservation efforts. The tweet we got was, absolutely, especially here in Iowa, where we have such a history of being connected to the land. Conservation is essential. Let's go to our first caller, Thomas, our second caller, rather, Thomas in Iowa City. Good afternoon, Thomas. What's your opinion here?
Well, I just wanted to say, sort of based on what Beth Wessel-Crichel was saying about balancing the budget and stuff, and also to your credit about doing it in a way that'll actually get funding. You know, it's just that, like, I understand that balancing the budget is important, and one of the reasons I think that the environment, though, is always put at the lowest priority is that there's, like, little immediate economic value. So it's always the last priority. And in Iowa, we have an economy that's based on mining our natural resources through farming and externalizing all those repercussions. So if we can't expect individuals and corporations to be stewards of the land, that's where we need the government to step in. And it needs to be in a way that isn't just a one-time shot. It needs to be something that is recurring and something that we learn to live with year after year that can go to support these things.
Okay, thank you very much, Thomas from Iowa City. 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Sharon in Johnston. Good afternoon, Sharon.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. One, as I understand it, the state legislature will have the ability to determine when the money is going to be invested in the trust fund. So does that mean that they can say we're not investing any money until the very end of the year or, you know, not at all this year?
Okay, Sharon, great question. Give us some of the details, Sean McMahon.
Well, that's absolutely correct, that the state legislature would be able to determine the timing for the funding for Iowa's Water and Land Legacy and the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. And in the new session next year, they'll be able to determine that, you know, as they consider whether or not to increase sales tax revenue or whether or not to fund it directly. And I would like to respond a bit to Beth's point. You know, we do have such major challenges for conservation in Iowa, and I sincerely appreciate her support for those issues. But we've seen that the legislature has proven again and again that they're not willing to invest in a meaningful way to make solving those problems a priority, specifically clean water and soil conservation. And we believe that voters are ready to make it a top priority. You know, the Iowa's Water and Land Legacy Coalition represents over 130 organizations and 300,000 Iowans. And we talk to mothers, fathers, business owners, farmers, educators, hunters and anglers, and countless other Iowans from all walks of life who are ready to make conservation a top priority. And, you know, those people certainly get that the future of our state's economy depends on protecting our water and soil and the other great natural resources that we're blessed with in this state. So, you know, Iowans will have an opportunity to vote directly on that on November 2nd and make that investment by voting yes for Iowa's Water and Land Legacy.
Sean McMahon, address Beth Wessel-Crichel's other concern about this being a regressive tax. It hits disproportionately low-income Iowans.
Well, first of all, I would say that the sales tax exempts certain things like food and medicine. And certainly, Iowa's Water and Land Legacy would provide for a number of free recreation opportunities, including hunting and fishing, which would put food on the table. You know, we've seen that Iowa's Water and Land Legacy would cost the average taxpayer about 8 cents per day if the legislature does decide to increase the sales tax at some future date. So presumably, it would cost low-income Iowans even less than that, so less than $5 per household per year. Per month, $5 mm-hmm. per household per month. And there certainly would be opportunities should the legislature decide to increase the sales tax. They'd also have an opportunity to increase the earned income tax credit and do other things that would certainly help out Iowa's working families and low-income Iowans.
Lots of our listeners want to get in on this discussion about the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund, a proposed amendment creating a dedicated trust fund for protecting and enhancing water quality natural areas and Iowa soils on the November 2nd ballot. Let's go to the phones, 1-866-780-9100. Matthew in Des Moines, good afternoon.
No, good afternoon. I would just like to say that protecting or conserving our soil and protecting our wetlands is a huge benefit for just for the state of Iowa as it is an agricultural state, and soil conservation should be a high priority. Also, with the flooding that we've had in Iowa as of late, I think a lot of this would be not necessarily remedied, but the situation would be lessened, if you will, if we had the proper wetlands and watersheds, I guess, to handle these handle the floods that we've had. And in that, that means the state is not responsible or would not have to actually pay so much money for, you know, the damage that is caused by the floods, especially like in the city of Ames and Des Moines. Mm-hmm. If we had proper wetlands, if you will, which are designed naturally to relieve us of the consequences of flooding, if you will, then it has to be a priority. And I think everyone, of course, should vote yes on November 2nd.
Matthew, thank you for that from Des Moines. Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, would you as a lawmaker get a strong sense of what voters want in terms of state spending on conservation programs if they approve this amendment, especially by an overwhelming margin?
Well, I think it's very interesting that the amendment is on the ballot today. And Sean is correct that 130 organizations came to the legislature with this proposal. I don't remember the number of people he said, but it was an incredible effort by a large, diverse group of people wanting this same thing. I would think it's great if the same group came to us on the DNR budget, the Ag and DNR budget, and said, you need to increase this portion of the Ag DNR budget, the Resource Enhancement and Protection Program, and the on the RIF budget, the Environment First, by X number of dollars to go to these things. They could equally have that kind of influence if they worked as a group.
Okay. So let's put that question to Sean McMahon. Why this path, Sean? Why not increase the budget in those selected areas of the DNR if State Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle says it would have the same effect and the same goal would be achieved?
Well, I appreciate Beth's point that we're really all fighting for the same things and that we share the same goals as far as enhanced water quality and improved soil conservation. However, the legislature has a history of underfunding conservation. And we've seen time and time again that in difficult economic times, it's always the environmental programs that are the first to be cut and the deepest. Beth mentioned REAP recently. REAP was cut this last year by $3 million. And we don't have to look back too far to FY03 when the legislature cut REAP by nearly 80%. You know, down to under $3 million. And that's for one of the most popular conservation programs that we have in Iowa. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at this last budget year, funding for trails was zeroed out. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship has its smallest budget since 1994. And there's a tremendous backlog for farmers that want to do soil conservation practices and want to be better stewards of the land, but unfortunately, the legislature just hasn't provided the funds for incentives for them to do that. So, while I appreciate the well-meaning legislators who want to increase funding, unfortunately, we've seen a funding cut or remain flat. And so, this is really Iowa's opportunity to invest in our economy. You know, we've seen that. Recent studies have shown that recreation just in our lakes, parks, and trails creates over 27,000 jobs and provides over $2.6 billion for our economy every year. Similarly, hunting, fishing, and wildlife watching provide over $1 billion for our economy every year. You know, if we want those numbers to be maintained or increased, we really need to vote for Iowa's water and land legacy.
Okay.
Sadly, the legislature has missed those opportunities in recent years, so now voters will finally have their chance to do so by voting yes on November 2nd.
Sean and Beth, I want to give you each a final word, but before that, I want to squeeze in a call or two before we have to end our hour in the next 5 minutes. Troy is in Iowa City. Welcome to The Exchange, Troy. Please be brief. We're coming up to the end of the hour. I want to get
yes,
a few
I
things.
Will. Vote no, because this will give the environmentalist wackos like this guy right here to take your land and buy it at a very small price, because then they'll have just enough money to go into legal system and also sue you because you're not selling your land and take away your gun rights, or your, I should say, your hunting rights, because this land is protected.
Okay, Troy.
This is the environmental area here.
Okay, Troy, thank you from Iowa City. Sean, please respond to those charges from Troy in Iowa City.
Sure. Well, the caller could not be more wrong. As I mentioned before, there's a provision in the legislation that ensures that all of this funding would be voluntary, that not one penny of this would go to regulatory purposes, that farmers and landowners who participate would do so on their own volition because it's the best thing for them. And, you know, many farmers I've spoken to, you know, are extremely enthusiastic about Iowa's water and land legacy for the opportunities it will provide to farmers, as well as for the investment in clean water and soil conservation that this will make.
Okay, let's go to Stan in Irvingdale. Hi, Stan.
Hi. I should tell you I'm very nervous, so I hope I don't trip over myself trying to talk. The goal of what you're trying to do, I totally agree with, and I think many younger Iowans agree with. But there's a disconnect. I have to tell you, I'm from California, and there's a lot of times when the people there get frustrated with something, they pass these, you know, initiatives that kind of take the decision making away from the elected representatives, and they kind of lock in these things. And you know, now they're dealing with the problems in the budget, having so many things that are actually beyond the control of the people in the legislature. So I guess my point is that great goal, but, you know, if, again, the point was made, so many Iowans are for this, and I sort of agree with that. I believe that. But then why don't the elected officials actually, you know, who also report to the voters, why don't they follow through and support this stuff? And so there's a disconnect somewhere, and maybe we should identify what's stopping the legislators actually from doing this and taking care of these problems. And I guess that's the most important thing is, is it a matter of educating the voters and putting those two things together? It's
okay. We got the idea. Did very well, Stan. Thank you very much from Irvingdale.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
We have about 2 minutes left. I want to divvy that up between the two of our guests. First, Beth Wessel-Crochelle, a state representative. Respond that to the degree that you want to, and give us some final words to think about as we contemplate this measure on the ballot.
Sure. I think the last caller was stating a lot of things for me, that by making too many restrictions on our budget that we don't allow the process to work as it needs to work. And I understand the frustration from Sean that we have not funded these programs to the extent that we need to. I do think, though, that if those 130 organizations came to us in the same way they came on the Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment, that we would feel the force. I mean, certainly we felt the impetus from those 130 groups when 90% of the legislature voted for it. I do have, you know, I continue to have concerns. I'm not an advocate for a sales tax increase because I believe it's a regressive tax. I know that 20% of lower wage earners in Iowa or lowest wage earners in Iowa pay 20% of their income in state taxes, and our highest wage earners only pay 1% because we rely way too heavily on the sales tax.
Okay, we're running out of time. I want to give the final minute, as promised, to Sean McMahon. Wrap it up for us with your final words, Sean, in favor
sure.
of this amendment.
To Stan's point, the last caller, you know, the future of Iowa's economy depends on protecting our water and soil and our other natural resources. And Iowa's water and land legacy is an investment in our economy, and it would be paid for many times over by the increased revenue that we would see if Iowa's water and land legacy passes. And this is really about future generations. You know, I have a young daughter and a young son, and I want them to be able to have the same opportunities that I grew up with, to enjoy clean water, nature, and wildlife. You know, it's about investing in our agricultural economy and conserving soils. It's about investing in the restoration of wetlands that can absorb and retain water to protect against future flooding and also provide clean water. So I encourage every voter on November 2nd to flip over the ballot and be sure to vote yes for Iowa's water and land legacy. You know, this is the best opportunity we'll have in our lifetimes to invest in conservation and our economy for current and future generations of Iowans to enjoy.
Sean McMahon, thank you very much. Director of the Nature Conservancy in Iowa, Chair of Iowa's Water and Land Legacy Campaign. Also thanks to Beth Wessel-Crochelle, State Representative Democrat from Ames. Beth, Sean, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you.
The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Alex Hoyer. Production assistance today from Christina Sarnelli. Technical support from Dennis Reese. In Ames, we had help from Tom Odding. In Des Moines, from John Pemble. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. Podcasting and on-demand audio available. Go to iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.